They're ready to believe you.
She was a whore. She was a whore. She was a whore. She was a whore. She was a whore.
Everybody loves Donna Mike.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool. Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody loves Donna Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Gorgeous.
Well, it's a little after 3 o'clock, and you all know what that means.
That was the show.
Another Monday broadcast. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Agronsky and all the ships at sea. Why, of course we have lighter fluid. It's over there by the crucifix and the stapler. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Hara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello. Thank you for listening coast to coast, nationwide, still. Via Westwood One, darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Hara, right here. That's why every single day we insist on calling it your cotton picking Don and Mike Show.
You know what they say on this show? Bring out your dead.
Coming to you from the radio station that smells of death, radio station WJFK in Washington, D.C. And, of course, the smelliest person of all is Ken Stevens, old Beetlejuice, the general manager.
Yeah.
He's covered with hideous skin tags, reptilian, and he has a 6-car garage. That's a pisser. Program director Jeremy Coleman is very cute Salvation Army clothes and his Mark Anthony haircut as we speak now. He's underneath his desk, getting in a fetal position on the third floor. Sometimes if we're doing the second floor, the executive floor of the bomb shelter.
Yeah, when he's not making fires.
Then Big Daddy, you thought it was Adam Sandler. No, Big Daddy is Big Daddy Mel, ruler of the world from New York City.
All hail.
We suck over the teeth of Big Daddy Mel.
Yeah.
We stand attentively at his cufflinks. And, of course, our agent in Chicago. Still waiting for that higher percentage, Junior Soprano. After chain of command, hey, soccer mom, hey, Junior, Mrs. Please, right now, as we move away to the back of the minivan, and look at that, I have just whipped this thing out.
Well, I'll be honest with you, it looks completely perfect today.
It's healed, Mike.
It's all healed.
Good. Weekend of sun. Weekend of nude sun in Ocean City. That is feeling good. I just whipped it out. Another perfect next shoot up in this big time major market radio show, Arbitron, rated over 5 million listeners nationwide.
Yay!
We're jacked about that. Here is our play friend in the next room, radio's Guy Birdhall. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Okay,
listen, a couple of things have changed.
Yes?
In the last 10 minutes since I came down from the office.
Okay.
First, we don't go on in Ocean City today. We don't go on there till Friday.
All right.
Which means right now my mother-in-law is probably lying on the floor telling my father-in-law to dial 911.
What, the station had a little problem with some high winds or anything like that?
You know, I'm always the last to know, which means you're always the next to last to know.
That's right. That's
right. I don't know. Just as I came in the studio, right, when I put my headphones on, Rob said, oh, yeah, incidentally, the Ocean City station doesn't start until Friday.
Did you know about the ratings party being canceled before you came in?
No, that was
neither.
That was the other thing. Oh. And
it's pretty obnoxious, if you ask me.
And, you know, I'd already taken the preemptive strike of inviting my wife, who always bitches that she never gets to come to these shindigs.
Right.
I'd already invited her. She got her hair done yesterday and all the stuff that she does.
Right.
Came in today, and I thought, look at this. All that preemptive stuff, it's all for Dick because they moved the ratings party.
That is really obnoxious.
Just 1 week, and it's because Mr. Liddy's not in back in town yet and because one of or two of the junkies couldn't make it. But next week, everybody can go. So isn't that great?
Well, I think I might stiff it next week. By next week.
I'm not motivated. Yeah. I was in full party, Monday party regalia.
You know, I'll be honest with you. This is such a what have you done for me lately business.
Sure.
That really, by now, the great ratings that we had last week, they
nobody cares.
They weren't off.
Right.
I'm back to hating life again already. And by next Monday, it's not gonna forget it. I'm gonna forget those ratings ever came out.
I was really, actually, I don't know, for the sun, the moon, and whatever, I was kind of looking forward to this one. Mm-hmm. A lot of them I'm not looking forward to, and this one I was looking forward to. And I must say that when I saw that on the door, I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
I was because for two reasons. You know, first of all, it was the right time for it, and second of all, don't change something. You know, at the last second, which is really what it is.
Right.
I mean, we all kind of come in here, and then we're ready for our day. And they
I wore real guy clothes today.
Mm-hmm.
So did I. I was
oh, please.
Nice T-shirt, Mike.
Yeah, I'm wearing a real button-down shirt. I got real pants on and everything today.
And then,
I'm wearing my underwear.
I even combed my hair on the side. Normally, just kind of let it all go down in the middle of that Planet of the Apes one. Really, I tried to sculpt my hair today. I had to come in today. I laid it out from the gerbil saying, oh, party's next week.
Oh.
All right, so first thing, let me call my mother-in-law.
She's going to be very upset that we're not on in Ocean City.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't she listen, though, with, like, foil stuck to the chimney or something like that?
Somehow she gets from Baltimore station all the way in Ocean City.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Hello, hey, it's me. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Well, see, I tell you, we don't go until Friday.
Oh, until Friday?
Friday.
Were you looking forward to listening to the show today?
Yeah, I hadn't realized that it was 3 o'clock yet, but
That's blasphemy. I thought every day at 3 o'clock that you went out and sat in your car so you could listen on the Baltimore station.
Well, I can listen in the house, and if it's stormy, we get static, but other than that, it's not bad. I can hear most of it. I can hear all the things said. How are you, Mike?
I'm wonderful, Frida. How are you doing?
I'm just fine. I'm glad to hear everything's well.
Everything's going just great.
Yeah. Well, I'm so proud of the ratings.
Thank you. We're very excited about
that. She's a good mother-in-law. I'll tell you what. She drives my wife crazy because my mother-in-law really does kiss my ass behind my back all the time.
Your mother-in-law, as long as I have known your mother-in-law has always been your friend.
Yeah, she's on my side.
Always.
She's on my side. We had a problem. Say something that this weekend. You know, we bought that jet ski about a month ago.
Right.
We were going to take it out this weekend, and it would not start.
Right.
So I got mad, of course. I threw my aqua shoes across the garage, and I started to pout. And I said, oh, we're going to have to take this piece of garbage back to the dealer. And
right.
And my mother-in-law came over and she said, did you check the spark plug? And right away I turned on her. I said, listen, I checked everything. It's a brand new vehicle. It's got 10 hours on it. I said, the spark plug is fine. It was my way of saying, you know, go back to your side of the yard.
Go back to your side.
He didn't say it mean. He said, yes, I've checked it. I've checked the spark plug.
Well, took it all the way to Delaware to the place we bought it.
Oh, no.
We get up there. First thing the guy says, oh, look, it's a spark plug.
That's the reason it wouldn't work. Was it fouled or was it just loose or something?
No, it was like from taking it out of the ocean. It had sand and salt in it.
Right.
The guy said
it was fouled.
If you would have just taken a rag and wiped off the end of it and put it back in, it would have started right off.
Or a fingernail file sometimes.
Yeah,
it's very handy. So for your daughter gets the handiness from you, is that true? It sounds like you know your way around an engine.
Well, you know, I've driven cars for a long time, and
that's where she gets it. It's obvious that's where she gets it.
So, we come back, and my mother-in-law, of course, you know, is patrolling in front of the house, waiting for us to get back.
I don't know about that.
That's one of the first things I said to her. You know, she came over to, I believe she came over to tell me it was about to rain outside.
Right.
Okay.
You know, to get those warnings.
What is that? Right. She does.
Sure.
He leaves books and papers out where he sits and reads on his back deck.
I said, listen, Big Freak, you know what? You're absolutely right. It was the spark plug.
Right.
I said, you were right. You know, how about that? And then later, I got it back from both my son and from my wife. And my mother-in-law thought that was like such a gracious thing to do.
I didn't
think it was so gracious just to tell you that you were right about the spark plug.
Oh, he didn't have to volunteer that. And I thought that was really sweet. Most people aren't that thoughtful, you know, to tell someone they're right there. If they get asked, maybe they'll tell them.
But
to volunteer.
Yeah, I know it.
That's cool. That's why, you know, because he knows you're in his corner. That's why he told you that.
Well, if
he thought you weren't in his corner, no way he would have told you.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
You know, I don't care what they say. He's a great guy.
Oh,
well, there you go. There's a ringing endorsement.
There it is.
All right, Big Freedom.
Okay, well, thank you for letting me know then. I won't get upset when I can't get upset.
Listen on Friday.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.
And I heard that honey in there.
Yeah.
Oh, honey.
All right.
Honey.
Honey.
Check the spark plug, honey.
Check it, honey. Yeah, she calls me son.
Son.
Right.
Hello,
right. Son, would you mind getting us the newspaper? Son.
She's your mom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what she is.
Yeah.
And she's in your corner. And really, that is the reason you told her that. And then she acknowledges you telling her that, saying it was a gracious thing.
No.
It is a gracious thing to admit when you're wrong.
No, she was right, though. She was 100% right. And I felt like a super idiot at this place because I was talking to, you know, the inbred guy that fixes these things. The guy that's got like four teeth in his mouth and they're all going different ways. And he's got tattoos all over himself. You know, and I'm there wearing, I don't know, like an Austin Powers t-shirt or something. I feel so gay. I'm already out of my element because I'm not a man's man.
You're in a garage. You're in a mechanics environment.
You know, it's like here I am with my pretty hands, my glove hands, and his hands, obviously, you know, dirt under the fingernails and everything. And I said, listen, I don't know what's wrong with this machine. It will not work. It will not work. He lifts up the top, and he goes, you clean the spark plug? I said, it's a brand new spark plug. He said, yep, here's the problem. Watch this. Takes out a rag, wipes it off, puts it back in.
How long was the drive between?
45 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Long drive.
Oh, the other thing, this is not just me being stupid, boy, being stupid too. When we pulled up to this place to have the guy tell us it was just a spark plug.
Right.
When he first came around to the trailer that we had the jet ski on, he said, well, you guys are lucky. I said, why are we lucky? He said, look, you don't have the hitch actually attached to the back of your truck. You guys drove all the way up here, and this thing could have gone flying off at any moment. And both my wife and I said, oh, no. No, we hooked it up correctly. We hooked this thing up all the time. And the guy goes down and just puts one finger on the big metal ball, and boing, the thing popped.
Didn't even check the handle over?
No, the handle was over it.
But you didn't have it attached.
It wasn't clamped all the way. But it looked to us like it was clamped all the way.
Sparks and, like, dragging him back, and you look at your jet skis are like a mile in back of you.
I know.
We're just idiots, man.
We're just idiots. So we're not on an OC today, and we're not having the big ratings party tonight.
Bummer!
And I hate whoever invented Parcheesi.
Really?
That's the other thing I want to mention. That for whatever reason, this weekend, my family was kooky about playing Parcheesi, and I played, and every time they played, I got my ass handed to me.
I wouldn't even remember how to play Parcheesi.
I mean, I didn't just lose at Parcheesi. I got killed at Parcheesi, and I want to find the Chinaman or whoever it is that made up this game that decided when you take somebody's little wood circle.
Isn't that little thing with a nipple on it?
No.
No?
No. Are you thinking of Chinese checkers?
No, I don't know.
Parcheesi is the game that has four different colored little round circles, and you move them around this board, and if you land on somebody,
right,
you put them back in the beginning, and you get to move an extra 20 spots around the board.
It's a dice game, right?
Well, you roll the dice to find out how many you're going to go.
Okay. Right.
Oh, it's maddening. I'd like to find Mr. Parcheesi and kill him.
Johnny Parcheesi.
Because we played the game on Saturday night, and I got hosed.
Right.
We played it again on Sunday night. I got hosed. We played it again later on Sunday night because I hate to lose this stupid game, and I got hosed again. All my strategy, every time, just came back to bite me in the ass. Every time that I would go in front of my wife or my son in this game, all they would have to do, I think I got a 1 in 6 chance that I'm safe if I'm 3 spots in front of them. I think, you know, what are the odds that my wife's going to roll a 3?
Right.
Well, of course, right away. Boom! Big 3. Daddy back to the beginning. Got it. And then she gets to move an extra 20.
That's a cool game. I remember that I liked the game. I don't remember how to play it, but I remember that I liked it.
I hate it.
Not a complex game, right?
No. Well,
I mean, but
no, it's not. It's a very simple game.
But even with all your strategies, it's pretty much
it's a simple game.
It's a game of chance. It's a game of luck,
right? Yeah, and I had no luck. I got killed. I got her up the butt every time we played Parcheesi this week.
Good though. It's the spirit of competition. You'll come back for more.
It was awful. No, we won't come back for more this time. I broke the board in half.
You didn't.
No, I didn't.
You don't. It's good that you do that. That's good family fun to play the board games and do that kind of
thing. Yeah, I know. It's overrated. Next is Yahtzee. I just want to tell you, all this family stuff is overrated because I'm always the big loser when we play the family games.
You win the Parcheesi, you get a free spark plug.
I can tell you the latest kick my wife is on from this weekend. You know, Miss New Age.
Right.
Here's a new thing. You ever heard of feng shui?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jeremy Coleman has feng shui up in his office.
Okay, so she's reading a book. We're on the beach on Saturday. She's reading a book about feng shui.
Right.
And when my wife reads a book...
Order is what it is. It's all about order.
Right. She just can't read a book. She's got to read a page, then she's got to give me a lecture on the page that she's just read.
Here's what it says on this page, that if we were to move our garage around...
Ah, hold on. Month, what? Are you spying on me or something?
No.
Here is the whole point. She says to me that our basement is a mess.
Right.
That we've got to, like, call Salvation Army to get the old stuff out. We've got to get the basement cleaner.
Sure.
And I said to her, fine, you know, do it. Mm-hmm. But she's reading this book. And on every page, there's something else about feng shui that she goes, oh, I can't believe I'm so into this. This book is so right. And finally, right. I said to her at one point, I said, listen, honey, put the book down. You need to read a book for affirmation that you should clean out the basement? I said, if you want to clean the basement, go ahead and clean the basement.
Yeah, I said, feng shui right here.
Yeah, I said, why do you need a book about feng shui to give you the affirmation, to give you all the courage you need to clean the basement? If you want to clean the basement,
right,
clean the basement. If you don't want to clean the basement, don't clean the basement.
What is feng shui basically? That open spaces are good, right?
That's a lot of it. It's something about energy flowing through, and I'm not sure I buy into all of this. Frida gave Marcia and I a book on feng shui, and we've tried to implement some of it. In fact, I spent a lot of the weekend doing that very thing. It's not just about cleaning stuff out. It's about order, like you said, Mike, and how you arrange things, and it's supposed to, theoretically, give you better luck and more success if you use it.
You know what it is?
It's in Larry Sanders, too. Larry Sanders has the feng shui in there.
It's useless crap. That's what it is. I mean, if you want to clean your closet,
just clean it. Right.
Right. Like, you got to read a book from Mr. Shui?
I get your feng shui idea.
You know, from the funger?
Just get a U-Haul. Get it all out of there.
Clean it.
That helps.
If you want to clean your basement, clean it. If you don't want to clean the basement, don't clean it. But you got to spend $15 to read a book about it.
Clean it and dump it. Go on, get. Shoo.
Right, that's shoo. Shoo. And then that got into a whole discussion about my wife's, because, you know, we have our wedding anniversary coming up in a couple of weeks.
Right.
18 years. And she says, what are you going to get me for our anniversary? And I said, I've got some ideas.
Right.
She said, you know what a good gift would be? And I said, what? And she said, you take care of the basement. And I said,
awful gift.
I said, you don't want that. That's not a present. You don't want me to. That's not really a present.
Right.
And then she said, get this. Here's another thing she'd like. A washer and dryer. I said, I can imagine the boatload of crap I'm going to be taking for the rest of my life because I gave you a washer and dryer for our anniversary. And she said, no, it's really what I want. Well, you know what I got? I got some new pots and pans for the kitchen. I said, this is like an episode of The Twilight Zone.
She's turning into Harriet.
You are telling me that it's okay to go and buy you a washer and dryer,
right,
for our anniversary? I said, okay.
Latch on to that one as soon as you can.
I said, consider it done.
Absolutely. Put a big bow on it, and you're set.
Yeah. Happy anniversary.
By the way, I think it's important to point out, especially with all the things that have gone on lately, that Marcia and I are celebrating our 24th wedding anniversary today.
Wow.
We start our 25th year today, if you can believe it.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Because you're like two geese.
I want to get her a washer and dryer.
The two of you are like two geese together.
We're all doing this, I'd like to say that Laura and I are celebrating our 35th wedding.
You're a freaking liar.
He's not even 35 years old.
And to be one up, here he is. Go ahead, Rob.
Hello, Robbie. Actually, it's next week, but Carrie and I are getting divorced.
Yeah.
But then reality struck back today. Okay, when we were coming back from the beach, my wife said, you know what I'd really like? I said, what? Oh, I thought you already told me you want a washer and a dryer. She said, no, you know what I'd like? I'd like you to write me a poem.
Oh, no.
I said, you don't want me to write you a poem. She goes, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so you're telling me I come to you with nothing? I just give you a poem that I wrote and that's good? She said, yeah. Or plan a very romantic night out for the two of us.
Like, oh, now the washer and dryer sounded fantastic to me.
See, but the poem only works if it's a complete surprise. The poem will only work. The poem doesn't work if she says, write me a poem, right, and then the poem becomes a task. The poem has to be from the heart, totally spontaneous, and now anything else, what you have to do, if you want, if she wants one of those
roses are red, violets are blue, here's a washer and dryer for you.
There you go, you've already written the poem. So you can put that on the washer and dryer. That kind of stuff only works when it's a surprise.
Right.
The whole thing about romantic stuff, it's the element of surprise. It's the woman not expecting it.
I could take you out for a dinner and dance, but here's a washer and dryer. Please stay out of my underpants.
None of those tones would work. I'm positive.
Oh, God. Yeah, so it's quite a weekend.
Good luck.
Quite a weekend.
Feng shui.
Oh, look at the feng shui. Said, well, they just clean the basement. Furthermore, I'm one of those people, I don't want to get rid of the stuff in the basement. All the stuff we've got in the basement, it's there for a reason. We might need it someday. I don't like getting rid of the old stuff.
For years and years, you're the woman I dug. Now, help me please clean this dirty spark plug.
There you go. That's romantic. Well, I don't know. We'll see. Who knows if we even make it to the 18th?
Yeah, of course you will.
Today is the 26th of July, and our telephone number is still 1-800-636-1067. Okay, let's take a couple of calls and on with today's show. Let's start with James, who's calling us from Georgia. Hello, James.
Got a mic.
Buddy.
What's up?
Hey, buddy.
What's up? I got a huge problem.
What?
I'm 25 years old. I have a 30-year-old woman that's down with anal sex, and I don't like it. What do I do?
Your woman is obsessed with anal sex?
Obsessed is not the word.
You mean that's the only way she likes it?
No, that's not the only way she likes it. But she likes it in public places at the most. I mean, she loves it at my job, at her job. I mean, she loves it.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't like the butt.
No, me neither.
Not a big fan of the butt.
I can't stand it.
Well, if you can't stand it, unfortunately, it takes two to tango, and she's going to have to understand that you don't like it.
She's rich.
She's rich? How rich is she?
Her daddy owns 3 car lots. Her mother is a lawyer.
Well, then you have to do it.
Yeah, well, then you got to start liking doing it up the butt, then, if she's rich.
Have you done it with her? Obviously, you have done
I've
it once.
I've done it, yes.
And did you totally hate the experience?
It's just the funky smell. And
God, right there.
Lack of preparation.
How about every time you do it?
It's a brand new Cadillac.
What kind of cars does your daddy own? What kind of car lots?
It's a Ford place. Ford, Dodge. It has a Dodge, Ford, and also Mitsubishi.
Well, maybe every time that you do his daughter in the butt, you could get a brand new car. You'd trade it in, go get a new car.
That'd be a lot of fun for you.
I'd do it.
But I mean, you know, as Buzz said, if you're getting that smell issue, you know, she's not preparing properly.
Well, it's more of a spontaneous. She loves the spontaneous about it. Like,
listen to me. I know. I really don't know.
I don't know.
I shall
learn.
Never in my life. I've never done that.
You've done some stuff back there.
I touched back there.
Oh.
I touched the outside of the starfish.
Okay.
I've done that, but I've never actually, you know, I've never done the full Monty.
You've never come close to the inside of the bad part?
No, never, never.
So when you've said that
you... With my nether region?
No, with your finger.
Oh, I've come to the inside?
Yeah.
Oh, I've come close to the inside. I've probably...
Oh, you're eating with those hands today.
I've probably gone to those nether regions, but never with, you know, Mr. Happy.
Okay.
That's why, I mean, but it would seem to me that would be pretty... horrible if you had that experience.
Yeah. I think it's pretty horrible what you're talking about right now.
Well, but when I did it, it was so, like, totally over the top, like, you know, that kind of situation.
Oh, bad is bad.
No passion, you know. That's right. That's when that happens. When you do those bad things, it's like you're really steamy.
That's right.
So you forget it, and it feels just right.
No, it doesn't. Oh, my God.
And actually, in the spirit of the moment, it can be quite exhilarating.
No way.
Yeah, right, no way.
Hey, excuse me, mister, I put my thing in there. You know, don't go talking to me.
All right, well, our advice would be, if her daddy's rich, you know, stick with it.
Well, I appreciate it, fellas. I want to tell you one thing.
Yeah.
Your show is the best thing in the world.
Thank you, sir.
I love it.
Thank you. Coming from the man with the brown penis. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Isn't that amazing? He's 25 and already sounds like Andy of Mayberry.
I just say right now, she owns 3 car dealerships.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
You know that Andy of Mayberry never put his... finger there with Helen Crump.
Maybe not with Helen Crump.
What are you thinking about, huh? Bestiality?
I'm thinking about the Secret Handshake Club.
Oh,
absolutely. How soon they forget. Floyd, Emmett,
with the
Howard man. Sprague, living with his mother.
What was the mayor's name, Robbie?
Quimby.
Mayor Quimby?
Yeah.
The Darlings.
The Darlings. I hated
the bad.
I hated the Andy and Mayberry show when the Darlings were on it.
Hello, Andy. Oh, see, Master Fish.
Hello from Donna Mike. Otis the drunk.
Oh, radio guy.
All the time, but never preparation with Otis.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
We're great, thank you.
Why do you think Otis let himself into the jail? Do you think it was just because he needed a place to sleep? He could have slept on a bench. It's always warm down in Mayberry.
Because he wanted Andy's hand on the butt, right?
Absolutely. He'd wait until, you know, the show's over. Otis ends up in jail, and then, you know, late at night, either Andy or...
Howdy, Otis.
Or Don Knotts.
Hello, Barney.
Barney's wife.
Boo! Thanks for letting me in, Otis.
There you go. Ooh, Otis is in there. Andy couldn't make it tonight, Otis, so I'll be spending the night in jail with you.
Don't forget the pile, boys. Goober and Gomer.
Sure. The piles. I mean, do you need any more explanation than that?
No, I think
Goober and Gomer pile.
The piles.
Piling on.
Yeah, hello, sir.
I hear you guys are coming back to Ocean City.
Yeah, thought it was today. I guess it'll be Friday.
Oh, gosh. I've been listening to 1300 AM, and depending on which way the wind blows, like sometimes I can hit you guys, and sometimes I can't.
Right.
You know what station you guys are going to? I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
You say which station it is yet?
I'd rather wait till Friday to make sure we're on before we say anything.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
They're building the station tower as we speak, aren't they?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi, everybody.
I wanted to tell you what I did for my 18th anniversary.
What?
I went to take voice lessons to sing my wife an Italian aria.
Yeah, that'll be happening for me.
Right.
Frida. Well, that's not the good part.
Really?
She accused me of having an affair with the voice coach. And by year 19, I was divorced.
Oh, my God.
All right. Wow. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Wonderful story.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Here is Tim in Detroit.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I opened up a Busch beer can at 12:30 this afternoon because it started raining up here.
Yeah, that's
and
nice
I worked
news.
Construction.
Hey, it's raining. Where's the beer?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I was tipping it back, and all of a sudden something whacked my lip, and I thought, well, hell, I haven't had that many where I don't know that there's a cigarette butt in there. I dumped the beer can out, and there's a white triangular thing sitting at the bottom of the can.
Is Busch beer a sponsor of ours before we continue with this? They're a sponsor?
Technically, yes, because they're under the Budweiser umbrella.
Did you identify what... Well, I'm sorry about that. What was the white triangular thing that you found?
I don't know. It just happened.
Do you still have it?
I called Busch, and they said, or Anheuser-Busch, the number on the side of the can.
Yeah.
And they tell me, well, wait a couple days, and our people will get back with you.
Well, did you... I mean... You said it's a white triangular thing.
How big is it?
Plastic? How big is it?
It's big enough it won't come out of the can.
Does it make a clinking sound in there? Is it plasticky?
It kind of looks slimy. Like I said, I can't get it out of the can.
Why'd you cut the can open?
Slimy.
Why don't you just cut the can open?
Well, I was wondering what you thought about it, if I should...
cut it open.
Is it pliable? Can you, like, bend it?
It looks pretty pliable.
What do you think?
Are you sure?
Have you spent any time analyzing this at all?
I've stared in the can for a couple minutes wondering what the hell hit my lip.
Don't cut the can open.
Right.
Because then you have no proof that it was ever in the can.
How do you know it's not something that, like, came out of you and somehow got in there?
Because it's too big to come out of the hole.
Are you sure it's not a tooth?
Well, I'm positive it's not a tooth.
Well, I mean, leave it in the can and wait till they call and send them to us.
Oh, you don't think it's taken to a lawyer?
Find
out what the heck it is?
What I'm amazed at is that you haven't really even been able to remotely tell us what it is, and I'm sure that you're the same way.
Well, I don't know what it is. I mean, I could cut the can open, but
I don't want to tamper
with the evidence.
Rob is right about that, but again, my question would be, how do you know that's not something that came out of your stomach and up your throat and into the can?
Because it's too big to get out of the hole of the can.
You know, it might just be a little piece of plastic or something.
It doesn't mean it's...
It's about an inch and a half long, so I'm assuming...
You could get something an inch and a half long down your throat, though.
You'd know, even if he was super inebriated, that there was something an inch and a half coming out of his esophagus.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, that kind of choked you, it was the first beer.
Cut it open. Go ahead. They're not gonna give you any money for it anyway. It's not like it's a rat or something. Cut the can open.
Yeah, cut it open right now.
Cut it open right now so we can find out what it is.
Give me the can.
All right, we'll find out what it is right now. How do you know it's like it's not like a hardened booger or a hardened piece of snot or something that came out of you?
Maybe a very long fingernail.
Well, it doesn't look like a fingernail by no means.
Are you cutting it open now?
Well, I have to get the tin snips out of my truck to cut it open.
Do you have the can there?
Yeah, I got the can right here.
Rattle the can so we can hear what sound it makes.
All right, just a second.
Tiny crap detector.
Do you hear anything?
No.
It's pretty squishy.
Squishy, slimy, hard. Yeah.
No, it's pretty soft.
Yeah, now it's soft. You're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
Yes, you are.
Because I've already called them. I can tell you the can before I cut it, because right here's the sound of the can getting cut.
Just cut the can open.
Well, all right, I'm cutting the can open.
All right, what is it? Here we go.
I'm cutting the lid open right now. Wait a minute. It takes a couple seconds.
Come on, let's find out. What's in the Busch beer can?
Can't say that.
Listen, you can't keep dropping these cuss words on us.
Well, sorry. It looks like a piece of ham or something in that nature. It's kind of saturated.
Now he's grossing me out. A piece of ham?
That sort of looks like it's white. Might be turkey.
Maybe it's human.
It's a piece of meat?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Were you eating any meat today?
None.
What'd you have for dinner last night?
Pizza.
Rubber balls and liquor. What did you do to your girlfriend last night?
Rubber balls and liquor.
I don't know what it is. It looks like a piece of turkey or something in that nature.
Smell it.
Stinks bad.
Stinks bad? What does it stink like?
It smells like rotten meat.
So it's meat?
It may be. I'm not quite sure.
If I was one of the people with Anheuser-Busch, I'd probably say, well, there's no way of proving that rotten meat didn't come right from your intestine.
Yeah, now that he opened the can.
As big as it is, it can't get back in the can unless someone forced it in there.
If it was a piece of meat, you could have easily gotten it out of the hole in the can.
Well.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, without any effort at all. But originally it was a triangle, a little flat.
Yeah, triangle.
Slimy triangle.
I think they'd be able to situate the alcohol content.
What's your first name? What's your first name?
Tim.
Tim? Yeah. I want you to know one thing. I know you're lying.
No, I'm not.
I think it came from you. I don't think you're lying, but I think it came from you.
No, sir.
Yeah, I think so. What'd you have for breakfast this morning?
I didn't have breakfast.
Lying again.
No, I don't eat breakfast, so.
Lying a third time. Boy, it's just you're on a string here.
No, I'm telling you, I don't eat breakfast. I drink coffee in the morning, and that's it.
Coffee in the morning, beer at noon.
You betcha. Rain days, you betcha.
Rubber balls and liquor at night. All right, Timbo, well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Thanks for your story.
All right. Well, I can't believe you don't believe me, because I've already called them as soon as I opened it.
Right. And what did they say?
They said they'd get back with me in a couple days.
Okay. That's it. Hard, slimy, pliable, triangular, soft ham turkey.
Yep.
Okay, bye.
I hope you record this so I can tell them why the can is cut open.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Good luck. Great. I think this could be the windfall for you. This
gotcha.
Will buy you a new truck.
Instant millionaire. That's you.
Well, no, I got a new truck. I don't need any of that. I just wonder why there's a solid substance in my beer can.
Take this truck. Job and show. Of it. I am working here no more. It's your payday.
I don't need to.
You just won the lottery.
Just got paid.
Proud of
that. That was it. I'm not a radio host. I don't need the freebies.
Right.
Yeah, and you're lying.
Yeah, well, you can call it what you want, but.
Yep. You know I'm right.
No, I know you're lying.
What do you mean I'm lying?
Call me a liar, so obviously you're lying, seeing how I have three witnesses to the.
He's getting a little too agitated.
Well, yeah, because I don't like to be called a liar.
A liar?
A liar.
A liar.
I am a pretty red liar.
Just like Aaron there calls odor, so.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
No.
All right, Tim.
That's the Detroit. Talk to people right
you know something, I apologize.
Thank you.
You're not lying.
Thank you.
You're crazy.
All right, goodbye.
I wish I was crazy. That way I could get Social Security.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're breaking up all the boys in the construction site.
Absolutely. You must be the funny guy in the crew.
Yeah, I am. But right. I do have a substance in this beer can that I just cut open for you.
All right, Tim. We'll wait for the headlines. Retarded construction worker that becomes America's newest instant millionaire.
Think I can?
Yeah. Goodbye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Inability to have any type of greeting or goodbye.
There it goes.
Hi.
Right, here's Eddie from Detroit. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, they just announced the band is on the radio that you guys are going out to air here on Friday. Is that true?
I don't know. Why would they announce that? If they were to take us off the air, why would they announce that?
Is there somebody from New Jersey? Two guys from New Jersey taking over?
I don't know. We said that on this show one time.
That's something we said. That was a rumor we heard.
Is that just a rumor, man? Tell me it ain't true.
Well, you heard an announcement. That's why you were calling.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, is it just like...
No, come on. Did they make an announcement or not?
What they let me tell you exactly what they said. It was on the radio commercial, and they said 97.1 WKRK in Detroit is welcoming two boys from New Jersey from 3 to 8 starting next week. But that's your guys' time slot. Well, 3 to 6. That's your guys' time slot. So they could actually say Don and Mike are off the air. Mm-hmm. I just find them amazing.
I don't know.
Can we move to Detroit?
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, there's some rights that need to be... Some wrongs that need to be right. I was going to say there's some rights that need to be wrong there.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't tell us anyway.
Okay.
We're always the last to know.
All right, yeah, you guys got an awesome show anyhow.
All right, thank you, sir.
Take it easy.
I'll tell you, we have gotten a tremendous response from Detroit, and yes, that's unfortunate if they're not keeping us in our time slot.
You know, when we signed on, we did it as a favor to Buddha Mel.
Mm-hmm.
Because Buddha Mel called and said, please offer your show to the station in Detroit because they have a time slot.
And we did.
And that's the same time slot as your time slot. I just wish that if they're going to yank us next week,
right,
you know, they might want to give us a call first before they start running commercials saying they're getting rid of us.
Absolutely. Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they pissed off that fat disc jockey that they had on before us, and he just pulled the plug on them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not above pulling the plug on someone.
That's right. We can do that.
Maybe they don't know. We've done that plenty of times more than Steve Dahl has.
We're petty.
We're pettiest. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, WKRK. This is not the best breakfast I've ever had. Hello, last call here. You're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Woodstock. I had some buddies that went up there, couldn't make because I had to work.
I can't believe that people actually went to Woodstock. You couldn't pay me enough money to go to that pile of stinking human garbage.
That's a bunch of idiots. That's why they set everything on fire.
That went to Woodstock this week and they rioted at the end of the show.
Burn everything. We had such a good time that we are going to burn everything.
I can't. You could not have paid me to go to that.
Really?
Well, you're right about that because my friends were telling me that everywhere smelled like human excrement because they only clean the porta potties out like once a day. And one of them, people were getting really rowdy.
That is what caused it, isn't it? I hear that they had inadequate facilities, and that's why they started rioting.
Did you see on MSNBC when they had a copter shot?
No.
Of people getting pissed, no pun intended, and what they started doing was pushing the porta potties over.
Oh,
and then when they would push them over, it made like a sea
of goo,
a sea of human waste.
God.
That
just like a trench?
Yeah, the people then were stumbling upon people that were like trying to buy their $20 hot dog. They woke up and go, what is that smell? Oh my God.
And like a river of poo?
You're soaking in it. Oh. And that's when people really started to get pissed.
Oh my God.
And they said where the mud pit was, some of that excrement was running down into the mud pit.
making it a true mud pit.
Right. So that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So everybody had it was like getting in the mud, which is one of the big things at Woodstock, had poop on them.
It was funny. I mean, it was funny to watch on TV. I wouldn't have gone there on a bet, on a dare. I wouldn't have gone.
Yeah. So gross.
Yeah. And the acts weren't that great, from what I saw. I mean, it was Alanis Morissette,
right?
James Brown? Who wants to see James Brown anywhere?
Wasn't as good as Earth, Wind, and Fire on A&E last night.
Yeah!
It's the best show I've seen in a long time. That was so. I forgot how much I loved that band in the 70s. I forgot how much I loved Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Strong Brass.
It was a repeat, too. I guess it was previous. Was it previously recorded?
No, it was like 2 weeks old.
God, that was a great show.
Woodstock. 225,000 people. Mm. 3,600 acres. One death.
A heart attack.
They did have a death.
A heart attack.
Right. 37 arrests, 2 weddings, 500 state troopers, more than 100 acts, a burrito was $10, a cheese pizza, $12.
Unbelievable. I mean, they gouge people out in the middle of the mud.
A 16-ounce bottle of water, $4.
Right. Amazing.
Let me see.
Planned Parenthood gave away 41,000 free condoms.
So gross.
So gross. 700 piercings.
You had, well, yeah, that's where you want to get pierced.
You had to wait in line to use an ATM 90 minutes. The service charge in an ATM was $3.50. It cost $150 to get in, and James Brown requested 30 seconds of silence for JFK Jr. before he started.
James Brown did.
Yeah, James Brown. Comedy! Comedy!
That's
right,
surreal.
One more call. Here's a guy that was actually at Woodstock. I hope more of these people call later on the show.
Yeah.
I'd love to find out what a crap fest that truly was. Hello!
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey, you were there?
I was there. I just got back in the town about half an hour ago.
Was that the worst time you've ever had?
Oh, my. Well, last night, right after the band, they had to, like, stop the show because of all the bonfires and all the stuff. They actually were picking up a porta potty, and they, like, threw it on the fire with, like, stuff in it. Stuff coming out in the fire. It was all burning, and you could smell the plastic, and you could smell the burning excrement.
Oh, my God.
It was like a, I don't know, Mad Max, or, you know what I mean? It was, like, way bonfire.
That is so horrible.
That's awful.
There was all a bunch of drunk frat boys, basically, and they were, like, trying to one-up themselves, like, I'll throw a piece of the fence on the fire, and the next group,
you know,
porta potty.
It's so corporate America. It's right. So everything that Woodstock, the original Woodstock, wasn't.
Exactly.
When they first had Woodstock.
Exactly.
All right.
I completely agree. I love the music, but the people were just complete a-holes. So
I didn't think they had anybody good there. The Bellamy Brothers weren't there, were they?
Not this year.
The Bellamy Brothers rock, man.
Oh, man, yeah.
All right, goodbye, you.
No, guys, take it easy.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
Well, I'm sure we'll have more people calling us from Woodstock, as will Rob Grippy, man, who lives in his car.
Now, he probably felt very comfortable with the smell.
He's familiar with the smell of his own excrement.
When he gets about 7 o'clock every morning.
He was there, and he's going to call us at some point. Let's clear these lines right now and do a caller 100.
All right.
This Friday, big free money show, rent and more. Mortgage show.
Yeah.
We'd love to pay yours. Qualify you right now. Prize package selected especially for you if you're the 100th caller. Good luck. Phone number 1-800-636-1067.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yes?
What the hell are you doing?
I tidy things up a bit. Just move the furniture around a little. I can move it all back.
No. Don't you dare. I love this.
You?
What do you do? I mean, the room, it just seems, I don't know, so much bigger.
Yeah. The Chinese call it feng shui, huh? The placement of objects in a room to maximize your harmony and power.
Well, since my divorce, my d*** can use a little feng shui.
That's very funny.
Thank you.
Living La Vida Martsky. It's Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
All right, today, fans, celebrities.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, Bob Eubank from the Newlywed Game will be here.
Bob and Carol, you're our grand prize winner.
Off the butt, Bob? We kind of last week, no one really said that when they were asked about the usual place they've ever made whoopee.
In the butt.
Tomorrow, the very angry Bob Eubank.
Very bitter?
Very bitter. And I've been told he doesn't want the movie Roger and Me brought up, which is going to be the first thing we bring up to him when he made the anti-Semitic. Yeah, the Jew joke.
Didn't he make an anti-Semitic joke? That was the whole thing, right, that he did?
In Roger and Me.
In Roger. It's towards the end of Roger and Me, right?
Yeah, it's when he's being interviewed by what's his name, by Michael Moore.
I'm still more affected by the lady killing the rabbits, which is really just about the most intense thing you see. That idiot lady that's selling rabbit meat. Sells rabbit meat to make ends meet in Roger and Me.
Right. That whole movie's great.
And she's petting her rabbit as she's talking. She's like this, like, not quite right, dropped on her head lady. And she's petting the rabbits, and then 5 seconds later, you see her just knocking these rabbits over the head.
I told you, you gotta rent the follow-up to that, which is called The Big One.
It's better than Roger and Me?
Roger and Me, it's different than Roger
right,
and Me.
Right, he's so obnoxious, though. He's great.
A lot of the deal is that people, by the time Michael Moore did his second movie, were hip to what he was doing.
Sure, so he had to be sneakier?
Yeah, and it's more him dealing with his press agent and
right.
Dealing with the people on his book tour. And then the guy that runs Nike
yeah.
Actually sits down for an interview
right.
With Michael Moore at the very end of this movie, and the guy from Nike ends up looking like a freaking idiot.
He does that.
Because Michael Moore says to him, 12-year-olds working in your factories in these third-world countries,
right.
Is that okay?
And the guy says, we don't have 12-year-olds. Michael Moore says, well, I thought you had 12-year-olds. The guy says, no, we have 14-year-olds.
And Michael Moore says, so it's okay to have a 14-year-old make your shoes? And the guy from Nike goes, yeah.
Okay, that's a quick cut right away.
You know, that editing that really makes you look awful.
You know, still two guys in America, right? You know, Michael Moore and Mike Wallace. You run. You just run. You see them knocking on your door. You just run in the other direction.
So tomorrow, Bob Eubanks, and we'll bring that up with him, even though he doesn't want us to.
All right.
And then also this week, this is not so much of a promotion announcement as a warning. Al Yankovic coming in with his guitar.
Oh,
he's bringing his guitar in here.
His guitar.
Well, yeah. Just, so it'll be Weird Al unplugged.
And then next week, oh, this little girl has knockers. In our continuing effort to book every has-been ever on this show.
Right.
Adrian Barbeau.
Woo! Wow.
Ew! Barbeau! Boo! She will be here, and we will see how she is holding up, because she's got to be, what, over 50 now?
Sure. Yeah, I would say pretty close to it. Right? And literally, how is she holding up?
She's at the wall. I mean, I bet she doesn't look as good as she did on Maud or in the movie Escape from New York.
What she really had.
When they showed him, like, a lot of sleeveless numbers.
Big old biddies. Mm-hmm. You never know. You know, is she coming into the studio?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
So we'll be able to size her up.
Barbeau on the Zoo.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Don, Mike.
Buddy, who's this?
Hey, this is Daryl.
Daryl, where are you from?
Sacramento.
Daryl, thank you for listening on good old KHTK. You are the 100th caller, and you have won the Haunting prize pack from AMC, The Haunting. You know, that movie got trashed by everybody.
Oh, yeah, critics love it.
That movie made like $30 million this weekend.
Yeah. Really, every time I see a trailer for it, though, I can see what the critics are saying, where the special effects are supposed to terrify you, but they make you laugh instead. You know, when you see the little cherubs come to life and go,
somebody's laughing. That movie kicked ass this weekend.
Sure did.
Yeah. Listen, you'll be going to see it, courtesy of AMC, but wait. Here's more. You've also qualified for Friday's big free money show, and we're going to be paying rent and mortgages and electricity bills. We'll be paying them up in the wazoo. How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
It's about $870.
All right. That's a nice big one. Love to make that happen for you. Please make sure that you're listening to Friday's episode, okay?
Alrighty, thanks.
Beautiful, because that's when we will be giving that away on Friday.
Very cool.
Yeah, we were going to go see that movie this weekend, The Haunting, and then we never quite got around to doing it.
No, I mean, when you read that many bad reviews, when everybody is saying it sucked, it's tough to motivate. But, you know, a lot of people blew off the critics and didn't care because they just wanted to see a scary movie.
The movie that I know you want to see and I want to see is that the Blair Witch movie.
Oh, yeah, that's Friday night, man.
Now, I'll give you a reason, though, maybe not to want to go see that movie.
Yeah, okay.
You know who gave that movie a rave today to me? Jeremy Coleman.
Really?
Yeah. Jeremy told me he went to see it over the weekend. It's one of the best movies he's ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I'd have to find out other movies that Jeremy Coleman considers, like, the best.
That'd be good. Anything that John Waters has done, I'm sure.
He loves the John Waters collection.
All right, let's call.
Hairspray was a tour de force.
Let's call Jeremy Coleman.
Jeremy Coleman, currently under his desk in his office.
In the fetal position. We could also ask him, why are you dripping us out of that party tonight?
Yeah, that's talking.
You know, if we weren't here, they would still have the party without us.
In a heartbeat,
right?
It's the same thing like you were talking about with JFK Jr. If it was our plane, they wouldn't, you know, they just go, yeah, they're gone.
Right.
You sure the plane went down? Not really, but they're gone.
Maybe he's in Ken's office.
Yeah, they might be both together. Plotting things.
Planning the next shopping trip.
Where would you like to go today?
Fresh Fields.
Oh. Please come with me.
Do you remember the fun we had at Office Depot? I'd like to go to Staples.
Yes.
Hello, Ken. It's Don and Mike.
Don, Mike.
Hey, do you have Coleman in there with you?
I do not.
Do you know if he's in the building?
I don't.
Hey, everybody, congratulations, of course, a couple of days belated, to our brand-new station rep.
Yes.
Mr. Ken Stevens.
Ken Stevens, who is now, as much as I hate to say it, representing us, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right.
Scares you, doesn't it?
Our new agent.
Scares you to death, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I promise to do good.
That's good. Well, that's good enough for me.
All right.
Have you gotten online with the stations yet?
No, I have not. I have a couple of legal matters to clean up first.
Oh, the Westwood thing, right.
I got my list. Jeremy is in his office, by the way. I see him there.
Ken is very anxious to terminate this conversation.
All right, goodbye, Ken.
Bye. Bye.
You can tell.
And you know something? That is just a little handwriting on the wall as to what it's going to be like every time we see it. So have you called stations yet? I've got a legal matter. Just a little matter with Westwood and also his murder trial, of course. Once he's done with that, he'll be okay. And I think, don't you think now it's about maybe 60-40 he's going to get off?
Oh, no, I think it's much better than that.
Really? You don't? Well, I'm sorry, I spoke out of turn.
Yeah.
You think maybe 70-30?
66 is in.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think Ken Stevens is the John Gotti of CBS radio management.
Hello.
The Teflon skin tag.
Hello, Jeremy.
Hi.
Hold on there, Jeremy. I read a book about Gotti this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm kind of preoccupied with John Gotti because I go to the bookstore, there's nothing to read.
And you have been told on a number of occasions that when you have a certain look, you resemble John Gotti, and I agree with that.
Well, now I've lost weight, though.
Right.
I mean, John Gotti's fatter than me, but, you know, when I wear my hair that way.
Well, you kind of goo it back a little bit.
Yeah.
You wear like one of those double-breasted suits.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, it's like, you know, forget about it.
You know, I was sitting on the beach with Frito on Saturday, and I held the cover up, and I said, "You think I look like John Gotti?"
Right.
She said, "What? Do you like John Gotti?" And I said, "Well, you know, you got to admire him. He's a businessman that rose to the top of his field.
You like John Gotti. You want to be John Gotti."
So I'm reading this book about him, about the trial before they got it.
Yeah, right.
Okay? The next to the last trial. And they said they had tape of John Gotti.
Right.
They had audio tape that they played in court of John Gotti ordering some guy killed.
Right.
And they said that on the tape, it said John Gotti said they wanted him to cut off his penis and put it in his mouth.
Mm.
They wanted to cut off his nad and send one to his mother and one to his grandmother.
He's a real sweet guy. And he got off.
And they said the whole time, that's the whole point of this, the whole time this tape is being played in the open court, John Gotti was manicuring his nails and reading a book.
With Bruce Cutler as attorney.
It said that all the guys from the prosecution just scratching their heads going, "We are playing a tape in open court where he is ordering some guy to cut a guy's penis off and put it in his mouth. Why isn't he worried?" And the reason he wasn't worried is because the fix was in on the jury.
Sure, and that's when he won that and he came out of the trial, that's when he was like welcome like the conquering hero.
Right, but they had a fireworks show for him and everything.
Then in Queens, it's like, "Sonny, my man!"
Forget about it. But they got him the next time.
Yes, they did, yeah.
Read every book I can about that guy.
Pretty interesting stuff.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hello.
Jeremy, before we talk about that movie, you know, that's pretty lame that you guys are going to have a party that's really essentially for us, since we had such a great ratings book.
That is true.
And then, like, you know, I tell my wife that she can come to the party. She gets her hair done and everything. I come into work today, then I find out we're not having the party till next week.
Frida had her hair done?
Yeah.
For our ratings party?
She doesn't get out much.
Apparently. Well, I'm sorry about that. Can she have her hair done again next week?
Listen, it's not so much that I'm upset about.
Jeremy, I think you should redo the memo one more time.
No, I
said party on, Darth. Party on, Wayne. I think we should have, we're all ready for that ratings party tonight. And if there are a couple of people that can't make it, so be it. We've missed those parties before. Nobody would care if we weren't there.
Now, that's true. That is so true.
I mean, when did you create the new memo saying it's been postponed?
This morning.
Okay. So that was, about 5 hours ago? Six hours ago. So, now it's just 6 hours goes by and you change it again. What's the big deal?
I think most people came to work today with the thought that they were going to go right from work to a big ratings party.
Absolutely. We could take an informal poll.
You do whatever you want. We could have a party every week if you'd like.
Oh, please. At this place? Well, that's just a crappy thing to do. And by next week, you know that all of the wind is going to be out of the sail by next week with this party. Nobody's going to want to go.
It's tough to take the wind out of number 112 plus.
Mm-hmm. You guys can do it, though.
Yeah, if anyone can do it, we can do it. Well, then I apologize for moving the party. I did it with the best interest of you at heart so that everyone...
No. You didn't do it with us.
I did it for you.
Us. We could care less if G. Gordon Liddy comes to the party or not.
Sure, that's what you say on the radio, but I know it bugs you if he's not there.
Hey, we don't make all the parties. G-Man doesn't make all the parties.
I would like everyone to be at all the parties.
Wait, was it one junkie that couldn't make it to the party?
Two junkies.
Two who? Which one?
Who?
Cakes is on vacation, and I thought Eric is not back yet.
Eric's never gone anywhere.
Yeah, they were off in Boston.
They're not back from Boston yet?
Jimmy got, like, screwed up in an airplane last night and wasn't able to get back.
No, I will bet you $1 million Eric is here for the show tonight. That guy is right as rain. Eric doesn't miss a show.
Why can't we just have the party next week?
How could they go to the party anyway if it's going to be an evening party?
What are the first part of the party is for them to go to.
What? The party was supposed to be... I thought you said the party was supposed to be, like, it's starting at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, like... An hour?
Well, actually, you know, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have the party, like, on a Saturday.
Why don't we just forget the party?
Just forget the party. Well, we're all ready. We're all kind of ready for it.
Anything
social that goes on at this radio station.
You know, nothing good happens here. Even when something good happens, it's not good here.
It sucks.
Everything's bad here.
Absolutely.
Everything is bad here.
Very frustrating.
Okay. So you saw that movie and you liked it, huh?
Which one? The Blair Witch Project?
The one you told me about today when we were having that awkward bit of conversation in the office.
That was awkward?
Oh, God.
No, it wasn't awkward in the least. And I asked Dom when he said that you had recommended that movie, I wanted to get some of it, in your opinion, some of your all-time great favorite movies so I could get a perspective on what. And Don had mentioned the John Waters collection, but besides that...
Yeah, the John Waters collection I do like.
And The Wizard of Oz.
Actually, no, not The Wizard. You really want the answer? Because it's not...
Yeah, I want to know, like, your top five.
Willy Wonka is an excellent movie.
Well, that is a good movie.
Okay.
There's a movie you'll never have heard of called Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
Never heard of it. Yeah, come on now.
It's very good.
Come on, Mr. Corcoran Gallery of Art. Let's go.
Come on, Art Deco. Keep it in the century. Give us another one.
I don't know what other good movies. Project is excellent, by the way.
Jeremy,
I'm going to challenge you. You can come up with three more movies that you like.
Jeremy, come on.
I crush under this kind of pressure.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Take a moment to think about it. What movies have you been to see? Take a deep breath, compose yourself,
collect yourself,
and think about a movie that pleased you.
A movie that pleased you greatly.
I did like the Star Wars.
Phantom Menace?
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
Oh, no, actually, you know what I really liked this season?
Here we go.
Was the Keanu Reeves movie, the one where The Matrix.
The Matrix.
I really, really liked that movie.
All right, so I saw
that three times.
We have the John Waters collection.
You saw that three times?
Three times.
The Matrix?
Yeah.
Shaky.
All right, let me pigeonhole you a little more. What is the scariest movie that you've ever seen outside of the Blair Witch movie?
Bambi?
Yeah. Bambi versus Godzilla was good.
No, come on. What's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Probably the scariest movie was Friday the 13th when I saw it when I was like 14 years old and I like slept with the lights on for a week.
Do you like The Shining?
The Shining, it didn't scare me, but I really liked it.
The Shining? He lived it. He lived The Shining.
I was a kid on the big wheel.
Right, you know, he drives his big wheel in every day.
Brad Robb. Jeremy Coleman just sitting there going, Brad Robb.
Jeremy, what is your favorite Western?
There is no favorite. I don't know that I've ever actually seen a Western.
Cat Ballou?
What? I've never heard of that.
What is your favorite comedy? What is your favorite comedy?
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Okay. That's British.
That's a good comedy.
Give me an American comedy.
Which is a better movie, Holy Grail or Meaning of Life?
Holy Grail.
Wrong. What is your favorite action film? Hello,
Jeremy Coleman?
One does not leap to the top of the list.
All right, what is your favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger film?
Total Recall.
Oh, you didn't have an answer for it.
And that's a good Arnold movie. That's one of my favorite Arnold movies.
Head Explodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to Mars. It's actually, I think, the only...
Sharon Stone.
That might be the only good movie Arnold ever did.
What is your favorite romantic movie of all time?
Oh, there, I have no favorite romantic
movie. Oh, come on. Oh,
stop that.
Come on. What's your favorite romantic movie of all time?
You know, I don't know sure I could even name a romantic movie.
What's your favorite mobster movie?
Goodfellas.
You ever see Goodfellas?
Yes, I did.
You didn't? You enjoyed it?
They put him in the trunk.
I'd like to put Jeremy Coleman in that car.
Look, you can do it in a compact car. You can do it in a VW.
We better pull over and see.
You never saw Private Ryan?
No, I have not yet seen that.
Okay. You really saw The Matrix three times?
Yes, I did. I'm a geek.
You are a geek.
All right, so you like the Blair Witch movie?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And can you give us any compelling reason to go see the Blair Witch movie?
It's scary.
Thanks so much. How the hell did you get to the upper management? I can't believe it.
Did you wear your baggy clothes in that movie?
Yes, I did. And it's a good thing, too, because it seats you not the most comfortable.
How many baggy jackets do you own?
All of them.
Like the sports coat baggy jacket?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like three or four.
Like, where are you going? You're going to Salvation Army or something like that? I'm serious.
The one I'm wearing today,
yeah.
I got from my brother because he wasn't allowed to wear it to his work anymore because he's got a hole in the sleeve.
Do you own a lot of high school band jackets?
Band as in they won't let you into high school?
No, like brass.
No,
brass buttons, gold piping, band jacket.
Yeah, like Sergeant Pepper, Lonely Hearts Club band
jacket. Why would you possibly think I would have those kind of clothing?
It just popped into my head.
Nope, no band clothes.
Really?
Well, I think you're going to have to move that party again, because I don't think we can make it on Monday.
Oh, come on.
I think we have a previous engagement on Monday night, and we would like the same reverence as you are giving to G. Gordon Liddy and right. Whoever it is from the Junkies that can't make it. And incidentally, I'm positive Eric will be here for work tonight.
Well, that's good.
So I guess you'll have to change that party. How about next Tuesday? That works for me. Does that work for you, Mike?
Yeah, next Tuesday's good.
Rusty, does that work for you?
I love Tuesday.
Robbie?
Anytime after 7:30.
Okay, Tuesday after 7:30, though.
Do you want to do next Tuesday?
Incidentally, if you were checking for Rob, that's Monday through Sunday.
Yeah, next Tuesday would be good.
Next Tuesday it is?
Next Tuesday.
Okay. The party will be next Tuesday.
Thank you. Please put that memo out, ASAP.
I certainly will. I'll get out my magic markers.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Constant pissing contest around here, you know?
It is.
We're always in a pissing contest.
You are so right about that. And we are not being petty, and we are not being paranoid. If that was us, if we couldn't make it, that party would...
The party would continue without us.
As scheduled.
Most people probably would appreciate it if we weren't there.
Absolutely right. Dynamite can't make it?
Oh.
Can we start it earlier then?
Okay. How dare he say that about my wife?
She got her hair done for the ratings party?
Yeah, like
she was excited about coming.
Like you didn't get your hair done, Jeremy? I've noticed that striping you have in your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Those colors you have in your hair.
It was great with a band uniform.
That threw him for a loop.
That's fantastic. I'll take all seven. In various sizes.
It's okay, my wife sent Jeremy the bill for that.
Hello.
Hey, bud.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, where's Mommy?
You want me to go find her?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Listen to that voice. It's changing.
Yeah. It reminded me. Less than a year till he drives now.
Oh. How are you feeling about it? You're cool with that, right?
A little shaky about it.
Are you really?
Okay. Yeah.
I thought you were the all-powerful, like, never-get-phased parent.
Well, you know, I thought it was...
Are already driving.
Yeah.
You joke. They're fine.
I'm all right with it.
It's just up and down the driveway, but it's but they're driving.
Hello.
Hey, honey.
Yes, fine, Bill.
Listen, you know what I want you to do?
Yes, but I don't feel like it.
All right, listen. Here's what I want you to do.
What else?
What I want you to do is get your hair done.
I've moved the party to next Tuesday.
What was the first thing you wanted her to do? Oh, the thing she doesn't like to do.
The thing he always wants me to do.
Ah, that thing. Now I know what you're talking about. Hey, we grossed our son out this weekend. My wife and I had sex so much this weekend. And at one point, I sit down on the deck on Saturday night. We were telling him about it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we weren't being graphic. We were kidding around.
Oh.
Yeah, you know,
it's your, you know, it still grosses him out. You gotta empathize with him on that one.
We were just kidding around a little bit.
We weren't telling him about it.
We didn't give him all the explicit details, you know, but I said, hey, you know, when
just
you...
Just saying that Daddy loves Mommy.
You know, when you went over to Grandma's earlier today, you know, I said, I gave Mom what she needed.
Oh, God!
Yes. He said, oh, Dad!
Oh, Dad!
I said, no, come on, aren't you happy to know your parents love each other?
No!
He said, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. He got all pissed and screaming at us and stuff.
Good boy, good boy.
We're not talking about Vern.
He got all mad at us. Listen, honey.
Yes?
What I want you to do is go get your hair done. I know that yesterday you just dyed it yourself for the party tonight.
Yeah.
But next week, go get your hair done and send the bill to Mrs. Jeremy Coleman upstairs.
First of all, I didn't know there was a Mrs. Jeremy Coleman.
No, he is Mrs. Jeremy Coleman.
We refer to him as Mrs. Jeremy Coleman.
And then why, my boo-boo?
Well, because when I just told him that you did your hair for the party, he was rather incredulous about that.
Aw, what? Yeah. He doesn't think I care?
No, he just didn't think it was worth one of our... I guess the indication was our ratings party's not worth the effort.
I don't.
And I told him you don't get out much and stuff.
You never asked me to anything.
Ryan, that's why I'm so pissed. This was a preemptive strike. I thought I had it worked out, and then I came in today. Boom, there's a letter that says no party tonight.
Well, I thought you told me it was going to be Monday.
It was, but we just got him to change it to Tuesday. Not for any other reason than we just wanted to change it again.
For me, but I wouldn't have been around on Monday. I had to take my mother to the beach.
Oh, so you did say, so you did it.
You didn't know that.
I had no idea. I had no idea.
We'll see, it worked out for the best.
Well, thank you, sweetie. That's really so thoughtful.
You had not told me that you were not able to make it on Monday.
Well, I told you I was taking my mother to the beach. I thought you knew that. I didn't want to come be a complainer.
Why don't you bring your mother?
Yeah.
Oh, please. Oh, yeah, why don't you bring yours, Ma? Why don't we fly your mom in?
You know, she'd love to, but unfortunately, she's got a very busy social calendar. August is her month.
All right, honey, get your hair done.
Well, thank you, boo-boo. I will.
Send the bill to Mrs. Coleman.
All right.
Apply some feng shui to that.
I'm feng shuiing all over the place, and we have been cleaning it. And I've been protecting your stuff because I told Bart anything we sold of yours that he could get the money for.
Don't sell any of my stuff.
He's been going through a lot of your baseball caps, a lot of things.
Honey, listen, the baseball caps mean everything to me. You can't touch a guy's baseball cap.
Yeah, you don't need them. You don't wear them. You don't even know anything that you miss.
I must say that's typical female. She goes right for the baseball cap.
I love my baseball caps. I love them. Don't touch my baseball cap.
I told him he couldn't take any that had a police name on it or any that had a football team on it. The other ones are fair game.
Well, what about the baseball hats?
Well, you don't even like baseball.
I know, but I like the hats. Honey, please don't feng shui my hats.
You gotta keep the Gamecocks.
He signed a few of them to make them look more valuable, too.
Oh, Bart signed them?
Yeah, what's the player's name?
Oh, you're throwing on my stuff. I can't wear those hats now.
Well, no, but they'll sell good now. They'll sell quitting.
Still good.
They'll sell them. All right, I love you, but really, get your hair done and send the bill to him.
All right.
Piss me off about that.
Hey, okay, good.
All right, honey.
Bye, sweetie.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
That's good. Well, Tuesday it is, then.
All right, right.
Party Tuesday.
Fantastic,
everybody.
Party on, Wayne.
Party Tuesday. We'll see you there. Quick break, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
It's so damn touchy.
God damn it.
Yep.
The Don and Mike Show.
Why did you get that email I sent you? Did you check your email tonight?
I did not get your email today. I did check.
Could you log on right now? See if it maybe got slowed up in the process?
You know, I haven't tried to do that from here before. Let me see if I can do that.
I'll tell you what I sent to Buzz. Wait for Buzz now to check his email.
Very good.
It might be fast for you to drive down to the post office, Buzz.
Quicker to drive home, I think.
Actually,
shimmy up the pole and cut into the line.
I got an email from my brother, of all people. I didn't even know that my brother had a computer.
Wow, he's into the information age.
My brother sent me a photo that he said a friend of his pulled off the internet that was supposedly a picture of JFK Jr.
Okay.
On the boat.
Right,
because there were no pictures taken at the autopsy.
Yeah. Right.
Now, the picture that my brother sent me, it's full color.
Right.
And it's a guy who's on a boat.
Right.
However, this guy has been so horribly disfigured.
Yeah.
I guess from being in the ocean and stuff.
Right.
That I had no way of knowing if it was really a picture of JFK Jr. or not. And I thought that the Kennedy family was pretty closed tight on that they didn't want any pictures of him taken at all for that exact reason, that they didn't want the pictures getting on the internet.
The only way I would say it was legit, is it a close picture? Does it look like
it's a picture of him in focus and it's sharp and it's clear?
Upper torso.
I think no way.
It's like just
no way. Right above his belly button, up to the guy's head.
I think if it was a picture of any kind, they would have to get that with an incredible telephoto lens from at least, 6,000 yards away.
Said it was from the Boston Medical Examiner's office.
No way. Because that's the one thing they made sure. I mean, what do you think?
The family requested that no pictures be taken, and the authorities said that they did everything they could to accommodate the family's request, which seems to leave the door open. I know I should have printed it out and just brought it. I promise I'll bring it in tomorrow.
Well, the internet, is loaded with so many doctored photographs.
It did look like the. Listen, it's definitely a picture of a dead guy.
Right, right.
And it looked like one of the eyeballs was gone.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And it did have bushy hair. Whoever this is,
right?
He did have bushy. It wasn't him, Rob.
Hi, this is Surf.
He's still alive, bro.
It wasn't him.
Still alive.
Yes, still alive. As far as I know.
I'd be curious to know if anybody else got emailed,
excuse me, that same picture on the internet.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about that. That would be interesting. Because,
right.
You know, if it worked its way to my brother in Wisconsin,
right,
you got to know it's all over the place. And my brother's never sent me an email of any kind.
That's pretty significant. But if you're saying that the medical examiner's office kind of left the door open,
sure sounded like that.
Right. But I mean, wouldn't they have control over that?
I sent it to Buzz immediately.
Right.
You know, because Buzz is my email. But
right.
I sent an attachment. You know, Buzz, look at this, because Buzz sends me like nude photos of Al Roker and stuff like that.
Now, can you download from there, Buzz?
Can I download my email?
Yeah.
I've never done it before, and I'm not sure I know how. I'm trying a couple of different approaches here.
During the break, you know what I'll do? I'll go back to Broyhill's computer. I'll get on AOL.
I'll just get on my own mail.
All right.
Maybe I can pull it up right here on the screen for you.
Yeah, I'd love to take a look at it and see if it looks legit.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hello, Dynamite?
Yes, hi there.
Hi, this is Gina from Baltimore, and I saw the Blair Witch Project.
Yes.
And it was good. It wasn't scary. I hated Matrix.
Yeah, okay.
All right, there you go.
That's the Coleman factor.
I didn't like Matrix either.
And it was really different, and it kind of made me dizzy, sick.
Because of the moving camera?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's another thing we heard, that a lot of it is
the moving camera.
Like done on home video.
The whole thing is on home video.
Okay,
so
thank you.
So you don't get a break from that. But I did like it. But I think that if it didn't have the hype of being real, like a true story, which is phony, but... If it didn't have that hype, I don't think it would have been. I mean, that went at midnight, and it was crowded.
I find this woman very credible.
All right, gotcha. Right. Thank you. Certainly more so than Charlie Stossel or Jeremy Coleman.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, just a couple of things on JFK. I know it's been running to the ground.
So to speak.
Things that piss me off about this thing. Number one, if you look at that silly-ass salute he did when he was three, his mom forces him to do it, which...
How do you know his mom forces him to do it?
I think when they show the whole scene, he's not doing anything. His mom bends down, whispers to him, pushes him out ahead of her.
Oh, that's such crap.
I'm as cynical as they come, but I don't buy that. I read something.
I think his mom did say something like, salute the army men to make him. Didn't she say something to him?
The true story is that before that happened,
right?
JFK Jr., he's a little boy, he was with the Secret Service guy.
Right.
And the Secret Service guy was saluting another guy.
Right.
And JFK Jr. saluted him with the left hand. And
right.
The Secret Service guy said to him, no, salute with the right hand. And I saw the Secret Service guy on TV because he still had the little gloves that JFK Jr. wore that day at the funeral. That's how he learned how to salute. I believe that the story is that Jackie O said to him, go say goodbye to the father, and he saluted because he had just learned how to salute.
Yeah, and if she told him
the Secret Service dude.
And if she told him anyway, why would that be a problem?
Well, that's just sort of hokey. That's why...
Hokey? What are you doing? Your husband's just had his brains blown out and it landed in your lap and you judge someone?
Everybody turn your head. I'm going to enter my password.
Okay, very good. Everybody turn to the right.
That just seems a little hokey instead of like it being some natural event.
And I reiterate, if you had somebody that was your husband or wife with their head in your lap, you'd probably be entitled to do anything hokey you wanted to, wouldn't you think?
I have successfully... Oh, shut up.
I have through similar circumstances.
I have successfully entered...
Move instead of anything natural.
Netmail 2.0.
Mm-hmm. You get it?
I don't know. Hold on a second. Scroll down, Charlie. Go to old mail.
I'm in old mail.
Well, it's only got that one letter. Keep going, though.
That's the only one you have there.
Go to sent mail. Send my brother a letter.
There's one more. Don said he responded. I wish you know that I'm trying.
All right. Click on the one to Michael J. Elston.
Oh, no, I sent that to him last week. Never mind.
Oh, I can't find it.
To say I love you? What the hell is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yes,
what the hell is that? Meet me after work?
Meet
love
me
you.
After work at the pizza place?
We need you.
Yeah.
All right.
Forget it.
I don't know.
Maybe I deleted it.
I don't know. Who knows?
Are you still there?
Yeah, I want to make two more points.
What a shame.
Oh, come on. What? Hurry. What's your other point?
Well, number two, they're not talking about the fact that it was his stupidity that killed everybody on.
Why do you hate the Kennedys so much?
Oh, I don't at all.
Of course you do.
I mean, it's all right to hate the Kennedys. You just come out and say you hate them.
Yeah,
people that hate them really hate them.
Be honest about it.
No, it's a shame that the scumbags are the ones who live and the nice ones are the ones who always die. That is a shame.
Now, plenty of scumbags die.
Oh, I know, but I'm talking about like Ted and Will Kennedy Smith, those guys.
Listen, you must have this show confused like with the G. Gordon Liddy show or something, okay?
Yeah, go, you know, give it to somebody who cares.
All right, goodbye. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I had some information on that internet photograph.
Yeah.
Yeah, the, is this Don and Mike?
Yes, sir.
Are you kidding me?
I just want to say for the record, as far as I'm concerned, the only Kennedy that's worth a damn is George Kennedy.
Yeah,
he is a comedian.
Okay. Well, we've always disagreed. You know, I've always been partial to Jane. After we got that video set.
It's not George Kennedy's not the comedian. George Kennedy's the actor with the white hair.
Yeah, George Kennedy's the breath of sure.
I was thinking of George Wallace.
Ah, George Wallace.
You know, the black comedian.
Comedian George Wallace.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, what about that picture? Do you have that picture?
Actually, one of the Navy guys with one of the Navy computer guys was streaming that live.
What?
They were streaming that live video. What? Over the internet when it was happening.
What?
Okay, what that means is, while they were fishing his body out, the Navy was shooting that down the internet to other people. I guess certainly not for everybody's consumption, though, right?
Right.
It was like down a private line or something?
It was supposed to be, but it really wasn't. And
I have difficulty believing that would happen, too, that they would use the internet for that. I think they have...
How else would they do it?
That happens all the time. It was supposed to be encrypted, but it wasn't.
If you're shooting live video of something, that's an easy way to send it to conference and to a bunch of other people.
There's a way to tell if the picture you have is a still from that live stream.
And what's the way to tell?
There'd be a marker that says Free Cabin and another one that says Dynamite 316 in the picture.
Oh, come on.
Thank you.
All right. I don't want to believe that I really got a picture of JFK.
I don't want to believe it's encrypted. What they did was they took live pictures and they used a special line on the internet that people, they would never do that.
They might. That sounds plausible to me.
There was the whole thing about that whole deal was absolutely, you know, privacy. Don't take pictures and stuff like that. I know you want to believe.
Don't be such a Kennedy lover just for 1 minute.
It has nothing to do with being a Kennedy lover.
Maybe I got a picture of dead JFK.
I just think.
I thought I had a good souvenir.
And I just think that the odds of that happening, it just would be a million to one. Because, you know, and it's so quick and it's on the internet. You're just taking all the factors.
And I got it from my brother. That's like the biggest fly of the ointment. I admit that one right there. Okay.
Yeah, and I would, you know, if it was true, I would be glad to say.
And listen, I'm telling you, it looks, you look at the picture, and if you were to say, who is this?
Right.
You say, I have no idea. It's not like you look at it and you go, oh, yeah. That's definitely JFK Jr.
Right, this picture.
Not by a long shot.
You know what I'd like to hear, and it's kind of morbid, but I would think, yeah, he was in the water. It was unbelievably cold water, and I would be interested to know, you know, how long is it before a body would be in a really, you know, unrecognizable state under that kind of water? Does it take 2 days? Does it take 1 day?
Do the eyeballs come out? Because this guy in this picture had only one eye, and then where the other eye was supposed to be, there was just a hole.
I think the impact would have more to do with losing an eye than being underwater would.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'm calling about the Blair Witch Project. I seen it this weekend.
You seen it?
Yeah, it sucked. It was the worst movie I've ever seen.
All right, I'm going.
All right, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey,
Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Calling from Harrisburg. I saw the Blair Witch Project actually 2 weekends ago when it opened in Baltimore.
Yeah?
Drove down from Harrisburg. It's actually an okay movie. It's not the scariest movie you've ever seen. You're not going to crap in your pants after seeing it, but it's a good film. You'll enjoy it.
All right, thank you.
I'm waiting for, you know, that I saw it, and it is effectively the scariest movie I've ever seen.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Bobby. Hey, Bobby.
Hey.
Hey.
I've had a Blair Witch project now for about 2 months on my computer. You know how we do that stuff, and I'm going to send you guys a copy tomorrow if you want. It's about 450 megabytes.
Oh, please.
Seriously.
It's like trying to download dirty pictures on the internet where you get one lock of hair and then it's like downloading.
And then your wife comes in and says, what are you doing?
She's trying to turn up the screen as fast as possible.
How do they do that? How do they know?
You know, like radar.
Radar, absolutely.
I did have something here about JFK Jr. Just one more thing about him.
Okay.
This has to be a reference to us today in the Frogs column in USA Today.
I surely do think it is.
Larry King in his column today is going on about JFK Jr. And then the last paragraph says this. I'm amused
at some of the criticism of the coverage of the JFK Jr. plane crash tragedy. Many radio talk shows spend all day knocking the coverage as being overdone. But what are they doing? Okay, now first, huh?
Right.
Huh?
Is his point, Larry's
point.
How
are you suspended wearing frog? What?
You know, I mean, we're talking about the same thing by slamming them. But you know something, Larry? We're not really talking about the same thing. We're not showing you the pictures. We're not doing that. Right?
And listen, if anybody out there knows of another radio show that spent all day knocking the coverage as being overdone, I'd like to know of that show because as far as I know, that's this show. Right, it's got to be.
Hey, did you see that column the Post guy wrote today in the Washington Post? Did you see? Not to say there's a classic example of what we were talking about, but there is a classic example.
The guy in the Post writes a front page article today about a radio station in Pacific Palisades,
California. Right.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
He should write about no radio stations that start with the letter K.
Yeah, and then they have a credit for another writer out in California that sent him this. Right. And it was just... First of all, it's a nonsensical article. That guy, it's so nice that they've got another idiot in that job.
I'm sure that he had to get some help, Mike, because you know what he was watching.
Right.
Watching his porno.
Porno!
Watching his porno.
Porno.
I'm amazed at the criticism of the coverage of JFK Jr. plane crash. Many radio talk shows spend all day knocking the coverage of being overdone.
Hi, this is Larry King. Why don't you rewrite it, Larry, and put in what you really want to put in? All right. I'm amused that I hate Dynamike, I hate Dynamike, I hate Dynamike, I hate Dynamike.
And then listen to this. I hate it when he puts an insight like this. Thursday, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Clinton sits down for an interview with George Magazine, blah, blah, blah. By the way, they just put the September issue to bed. That's magazine talk.
Thanks, Larry.
Yeah. Thanks for helping me through that one, Larry.
Yeah, I'm Larry King. I'm here to help you. Hi.
Thank you, Larry.
You're gorgeous.
And the one other thing from his column, I had them as he writes about George Brett getting in the Hall of Fame. Then he goes on a riff about Jewish players in the All-Star game.
Right.
And he, of course, mentions the name Sandy Koufax.
Mm-hmm. Sandy Koufax, who, the big story about Larry is that Larry said that they grew up together when they never did.
Yeah, and somebody asked Sandy Koufax about it, and Sandy Koufax said, I don't know him from Jesus. I've never met Larry King in my life. But he does, you know, he doesn't mention that. And is Sandy Koufax dead now?
I think he's still alive.
Yes,
he's alive.
Well, then I wish Sandy Koufax would come out and make another public statement.
He doesn't. See, Sandy Koufax is so above Larry King that he'll never do that. That's the thing. Sandy Koufax, exists on a totally different plane than Larry King. Larry King's the kind of guy that has to say, here's who I know, here's me, I'm Larry, I know this person, I know that person. Sandy Koufax,
we grew up in Brooklyn together. We had egg creams on the corner.
And because Sandy Koufax is above it all, floats above it, you know, and Larry's down here, it was Sandy Koufax would never... I guess one time they asked him about it, right?
Yeah, and he said, I never met Larry Zeiger in my life.
I used to play stickball with Sandy Koufax.
Liar. About stickball, still one home run separates these two guys. Wow. Sosa has hit 35.
Right.
McGuire has now hit 34 in the official Dennis Murphy home run race.
And you know, no longer will I ever get excited about him leaving a game or having back spasms because he leaves the game, comes back, hits a home run,
and then leaves the game again.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm going to be ridiculous.
I have 36-35.
I have Sosa has 36, McGuire has 35.
That's right, you're correct.
Sosa hit one over the weekend, and McGuire hit one over the weekend.
Right. Actually, at one point, I think on Sunday, Sosa had gone back maybe two
up. Right, right.
And then McGuire hit one yesterday.
Yeah. Close. I still see way too much of Sammy Sosa congratulating other players. I wish he was more focused. I know he's a good team player and all, but Sammy, focus on your own individual statistics. Go against the grain.
Keep being a team player, Sammy. Yeah. All right. We love you. Long time, Sammy.
What is the time for individual achievement?
Hello.
Oh, hold on a second. Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Weekend in Exorcist 3, the movie.
In what?
In The Exorcist 3, the third one. plays himself.
Is that a new movie or an old movie?
It's about 1980. George C. Scott in it.
I remember that. That's the one where Larry King spews the green vomit.
Your mother so sucks in hell. Don't do this. Why are you doing this?
Sitting in a bar.
Don't you dare go up those stairs. Those stairs will kill you. You know, he's the biggest star. He's in all kinds of movies. He's Ghostbusters.
Oh, sure.
But now CNN has told all those guys that are on camera that they can no longer be in movies because the movie Contact was the movie that pissed people off the most because all the CNN people were pretending
right. that they were really reporting news events, but really they were just reading the script.
I know. The very bad, bad business of being an anchor person.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Except for Larry. Larry still gets to be in the movies. He's exempt.
Really?
He's the one person at CNN who's exempt from that rule.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Because nobody takes him seriously.
Because I'm more fluff, entertainment, and I'm curious.
I'm Zyga. Hello to my good friend, Sandy Koufax.
Who I struck out playing stickball in Brooklyn.
How about Hideo Nomo?
Yeah, that's the last part of his column today, right?
Everybody gave up on him, and now he's one of baseball's best pitchers. Milwaukee is lucky to have Hideo Nomo.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Bueno, Brewster, Don and Mike from the basement of the science building.
The Nomos are here for the entire hour. We'll get to your calls in just a moment for the Nomos.
It's Lay King, yeah. I'm curious, how'd you get the name Hideo?
Hello.
Nomo.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a way for Buzz to get his email from pretty much any place where he can get on the internet.
Yeah, how do you do that?
Be careful here, Buzz, because this is the way everybody in the world will be able to get your email.
Well, no. I'm just telling him a website he can go to. He has to know his account information and everything.
Right.
But the website is www.mail, mm-hmm. the number 2, and then...
Well, you know what? I think if you type
just give a commercial there?
If you type in mail number 2, you'll probably get guys crapping on each other.
Mail number 2.
I don't know if Gordon will give an Audi website, but I don't know anything
click
about.
This icon to see your favorite mail delivery.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. Broadcasting live from the basement of the science building. This is ZOIB Radio. It's a new movie, The Blair Witch Project. What did you think?
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey. Hey, listen, I was watching something. I was watching a show on PBS the other night called Keeping Up Appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about basically this old broad who thinks she's bigger than she is. But she was talking to her clergy, her local clergy, and she said that she had a jar of, and I quote, gentleman's relish for him.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Bye.
Oh, I'm so happy.
You all about that.
Hello. Those are cookie crazy calls.
Cookie crazy calls are copyrighted me.
All right, just one more call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I just wondered if you guys knew how Tom Gavin made a living.
Yes, he balances canes on his head mm-hmm. in the circus.
Oh, that's funny.
No, he picks crab meat.
Hello. Well, we've just given you his 2 real jobs.
That's mm-hmm. right. He balances canes and he picks crab meat.
And he really does sell voicemail.
Does he really?
Pagers and voicemail.
He sells?
Mm-hmm.
How the hell does that work?
I don't know. Maybe it's like Amway.
I'm
not asking you the structure, but how does it work with him?
I don't know.
There's got to be interpersonal communication with
him. He used to have a business line. Not that I ever called and, pretended to buy it from him.
You buy a pager.
he's a monster on the weekends. Yes, that's simply his social activity, though. That's not business.
Pagermonster.com.
Hey, guys.
Want to see me go number 2?
Oh.
You've got mail.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Your chance to get your rent, your mortgage, or your electric bill paid in full. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Yes. I want everybody together to go ahead and say, penis, 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 vagina, vagina, vagina. Come on, y'all, say it. Oh, good! Great!
They are the hair in your eclair, Don and Mike.
Right, now, Buzz mentioned a couple minutes ago that it's his anniversary today.
Yeah, 24 years today, right?
Right. Him and Marcia. I got the 18th coming up with Frida.
Right.
Rob is teetering on the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you have coming up? Your third, your fourth, something like that?
I don't know.
All right, well, your wedding day. I got this out of a tabloid now. So
right.
Keep in mind, I have a tabloid.
Okay.
Your wedding day can make or break your relationship.
Okay.
Hmm. Now, I don't understand this, so I'm going to ask Rob to do the math.
Okay.
What you're supposed to do is add up all the numbers of your wedding date until only one number remains.
So what's your wedding date?
Okay, so I'm sitting here, and I was joking with you at first, and then I started saying, okay, enough of the joke, because right. You're getting serious with this, and I have to think. And I believe it's 5 years, but it could be 6 years.
I believe it's five.
Thank you, Rob.
I think.
Thanks, five.
I think it is.
Okay. Mine is 8, 7, and I think it's 83. If we have the 18th coming up this year in 99.
That would be 81 then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
73?
I'm really...
What did you say? What did you say? 87, 73?
No, 83.
That would make it the fear being 16th.
Then we must have got married in 81.
All right. So here are your digits. 8, 7, and 81.
Right.
So you add 8 and 7 is 15. And 8?
23.
And 1?
Is 24.
So then you have 24. And then you add 2 and 4.
Hold on. Let me make sure I get the date right. Honey?
It's 81, Romeo.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I had it right.
Bye-bye.
No, I didn't. So you had 83.
I thought it was 83 at first.
Okay. And then you have 24 because you added all those digits.
8 and 7 is 15, and 8 is 23, and 1 is 24.
So then you add the 2 and the 4.
6.
And that's your number.
What does the number mean?
I will tell you after we all come up with our numbers.
So Don's number is 6. What's your date?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mike, what's your day in your marriage?
Come on.
8.
8.
27.
27, and then 5 years ago was 94.
Right.
Simply thus.
Okay, so do the math, Rob.
8 plus 2.
10.
And 7.
17.
And 9. 26. And 4 is 30.
You notice I'm being very quiet here.
So that's 30. 3 plus 0 is 3. Mike is 3.
Okay.
Okay, Mike is a 3.
And Buzz?
I come to a 9. I was married on 7, 26, 75.
Well, let Rob do the math.
Okay. 7, 26, 59, 75.
70,
42.
Okay. 7 plus 2 is
9. 10,
3. 12. 3. 7 plus 2 is 9.
Buzz honeymooned up in Titanic.
But he made it. Thank God.
Yeah. Survivor. Yeah, he's one of the few men to get in the lifeboat.
7 plus 2. He shot a woman. 7 plus 2 is 9. Plus 6 is 15. Oh. Plus 7 is 22. Plus 5 is 27. 2 plus 7 is 9. Buzz was right. And I was 10, 12.
And then we emphasized was.
And is.
Oh, okay.
So 10, 12, 96 is 1 plus 0 is 1. Plus 1 is 2. Plus 2 is 4. 9 is 13. 19.
9 and 1 is 10.
And then, so I'm 1.
And Rob is one.
All right, we're all different numbers.
That's cool.
Are you ready to find out what they mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, now this comes from a numerologist, right?
Yes.
Right. Who claims you can predict how your marriage will turn out by adding up all the numbers of your wedding date until one remains.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Couples with ones.
That's me.
Rob Siwanek.
Hooray.
Tend to have unconventional marriages which lead friends to wonder why they're together.
Not just friends, but also insiders.
There you go. Yeah. Right, we had no twos.
Right.
Two couples are very emotional.
All right.
Three.
That's Mike.
Mike is a three. Whirlwind romances in which both partners spend lots of money on fun activities.
True
words never spoken.
All right, we don't have a four here.
Four marriages are traditional and last long. We don't have a five. Fives are untraditional and susceptible to breakups.
Uh-oh.
Six.
That's ye.
That's me, a six.
Right.
Real homebodies.
That's true.
That is very true.
Absolutely.
We have those sevens here. Sevens are curious explorers.
I'm curious.
Curious explorers.
Could I see a starfish?
Eight couples are industrious but have problems handling money. And nine couples, of which Buzz is...
Right.
Are intensely attracted to each other.
Uh-huh.
That's so true.
Yeah,
that's
right?
True. They're all true. We all fit into the right category.
That's spooky.
That's right. I can't tell you how many times I've wondered why Rob and Carrie Spiewak are together.
That's what it says. Couples with one wedding date have unconventional marriages, which lead friends to wonder why they're together.
Is she home this week, Ron?
Yes, well, it's true. Wednesday.
Of course. I always think that one is not the greatest, but five is the worst.
Five would be the worst. We didn't have any fives.
Fives are untraditional and susceptible to breakups.
Mm. Oh, that's very bad.
Well, you're a five.
See, you fall buzz into that untraditional category, too.
Well, and
Rob was unconventional, so that's non-traditional also. Right. There are a lot of us out there.
Who else is married? I'd like to do that with someone else. At
Ken Stevens is married.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
How much you want to bet he has no idea what he was.
You won't have a clue.
Of course.
I'm still hoping I'm right. I'm hoping Rob have my date right.
I think it is.
Really? I mean, I know the number. I know the,
Hey, Ken, it's Don and Mike again.
Don, Mike.
Hey, we're doing a little numerology here.
While we're doing it, do you think there's a chance we can get his porn name, too?
Oh, yeah. Ken, we need first from you the name of your first dog and the name of the first street you can remember living on. You give us the name of the dog first and then the name of the street, and that's your porn name.
That's your porn name. For the name, first dog you had and first street you ever lived on, and put them in that order.
I think my first dog's name was Chip.
Chip? And then what's the first street you can remember living on?
I lived on Kenmore Circle.
So you'd be Chip Kenmore.
Chip Kenmore. That's good. Good old American name.
Ken, what is the day, the month, and the year you got married?
That would be November 22nd.
Hold on, that's 11/22.
Senators.
1981.
Oh, same year as me. All right, Rob's going to add them up. Do the math up. 11 and 22 is 33, and 8 is 41.
No, you just add the single digits.
Oh.
So 6, 4,
oh, I got you.
15, he's a 6, like
all right.
You.
Ken is a 6. That means, Ken, you and your wife are real homebodies. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, I'd say so, sure.
All right. Very good.
Except when we're out.
Yeah, except Ken's never at home. Remember, right. Ken, like, lives half the week in Philadelphia.
But when you are home, you like to stay at home, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that falls into that category. We're all analyzing our marriages here with numerology.
Who are you stay-at-home guys?
Did we wake you up or something?
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what we are.
I'm having a meeting with Alan.
Oh,
let me do the line ones. Put Alan on the
phone.
Do
the line ones.
Okay, hold on.
Great.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, hello.
Alan, it's Don and Mike. We're doing a little numerology quiz here.
Sure.
To find out about your marriage.
It's great because I was getting my shops busted.
Ah, good. Okay, so a little respite for you.
All right, what is the day, the month, and the year that you were married?
The day was Sunday.
No, I didn't know. It's like the number day.
The number day, you know, like 8/22/95.
September 8th,
1985. Okay. Well, what was that one more time, please?
September 8th, 1985.
All right, add them up, brains.
All right, we're going to give you your number and tell you
what... Three.
He's a 3. Alan, you are like Mike. You had a whirlwind romance in which both partners spend lots of money on fun activities.
That would be true.
Wow.
All right, there you go. That's
true. That would be true.
Very true.
It's true.
What's your porn name? Alan, what was the name of your first dog and the name of the first street you can remember living on?
First dog, Corky.
Excellent. And what's the name of the first street you can remember living on?
Caffrey Avenue.
Corky Caffrey.
Corky Caffrey.
That might be the best porn name we've got. That's better than Chip. What was Ken's last name? Chip
Kenmore.
Chip Kenmore.
Kenmore.
What's Ken yelling at you about up there?
Nothing.
How can he be yelling at you? Don't you guys, like, make millions of dollars selling commercials?
Never enough.
Never enough. All right, thank you, Alan.
All right.
That's the philosophy of the company. Yeah. Never enough. Right?
Bye-bye.
Oh, that's pretty accurate thus far. All those
people. Like it. I really do. I'm starting to buy it. I mean, with all these responses.
Hello, Don, my show. Hello.
Hey, where did they get that short from?
From some numerologist that sent us a press release. Her name is Pam Bell.
How can I get a copy of that?
I guess you got to get a radio show. I don't know. Hello, Don, my show.
I mean, her name is Pam Bell, but her poor name is Skippy Maple.
There's no reason to have the lady on the show, being as now we've already...
Sure. I think we're doing real well with
that. Yeah. We've given out the formula.
The only thing is, I'd like more formulas. I'd love to, because I'm seeing so far that it's been right on so far.
Hello, Donna, my show. Hello. Oh, all right. Hello, Dynamite.
Hi, I was wondering if you could tell me what kind of marriage I have using my anniversary date.
Sure. Well, give us the info. Rob will add it up.
Okay. 7/29/94.
7/29/94. Brains, what's her number?
She's a 4.
You're a 4, honey?
Mm-hmm.
And that means traditional and last long.
Traditional and last and long, honey. Now,
okay.
You laugh. Is that true?
Well, you want to know my porn name?
Yes, please.
It'll be Cricket Oldgate.
Cricket Oldgate.
Hello, Donna, my show.
You want to know my tag? I just wanted to tell them
that. You know how they're doing the numerology?
Yeah, yeah. Turn your radio down, please. You're talking to us.
It is.
Wow.
My poor name would be Chuckles Leatherwood.
Chuckles Leatherwood.
And what does that have to do with numerology?
Nothing. I just had a bell with, like, you know, how you did, have to do the street and then the name of your dog.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Chuckles.
Bye-bye, Ben.
Bye-bye, Chuckles Leatherwood.
Hello, Donna Bright Show. Hello.
And some people, the pressure is simply too much.
Hello, yeah, Dynamite.
Yeah, I just want to find out what a 10 was on that chart.
There is not a 10. It's only a chart from 1 to 9.
10 would be 1.
Okay, then I have a 1 then. Okay.
Unconventional marriage leads friends to wonder why you're together.
Oh, that's the wrong one.
Congratulations. You're in the same boat as the Spiewak.
That's right.
Okay.
Unconventional.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hello, Dynamite Show.
I like talking to Dynamite.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, does it work with the month and date if you're going to get married in the year 2000?
Yeah, you can do it that way.
Sure it would, Robbie. So.
Just add up the year.
Okay, give us the month and the date.
September 9th, year 2000.
All right, 9-9-2000.
9-9-0-0.
That means you're a 9.
Like
you're
Buzz.
Intensely attracted to each other. Don't speak of yourself in third person, Buzz.
So,
who do you think you are, Randall Cunningham? Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, I want to do my numbers.
Okay, what's your date?
1-18-92.
Rob, 1-1-8-9-2.
Frank O'Mara likes that number.
What's your number, Brain?
3, buddy.
You're a 3? You like the O'Maras and like the Line Ones. Whirlwind romances in which both partners spend lots of money on fun activities.
Have we gotten a 5 yet?
We have not.
We have to get that 5.
That's the worst number.
We have to find that 5.
That's the bad number. That and 1 are your bad numbers.
That's the bad place.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Well, you know, 8's not great. 8 couples are industrious but have problems with money.
Well, 8 is enough.
Hello. Hello there.
Yeah, I wanted to do my number.
All right, real quick.
7-14-73.
Have you been married that long?
Yep.
Four.
You're a 4. Traditional lasts long.
Obviously.
Obviously, man.
All right, thank you. Hello, Don on my show.
Hey, I'd like to get on the show.
Yeah, what do you want?
Porn name and my numerology.
All right, what's your porn name?
Macbeth.
Bobo who?
Bobo Macbeth.
Bobo Macbeth.
And now here's British porn star Bobo Macbeth.
All right, what's your date? Very quickly, please.
I'm a 4, actually, so I just did it in my head.
Oh, come on.
We like doing the math. Rob likes doing the math.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I know a way you can get your drag queen name.
How's that?
You take your cat's name and your mother's maiden name, put them together. I'd be Ophelia Cupper.
You take your cat's name and your first cat's name.
Yes, your first cat's name and your mother's maiden name.
I would be Boo Boo Martin if I was a drag queen.
Oh, man, I got a good one. I would be Blanchot Perrault.
It's a nice French drag.
Yes, bonjour.
Robbie?
Mine doesn't even work. Grok Stalkup.
What the hell is
that?
That
name is Grok.
Grok is a cat's name. My cousin made it up.
Grok.
Grok. G-R-O-C-K, yeah.
Grok.
Grok. He was a little boy and a little cat.
What about the cat man over there?
Buzz, what does Buzz think about this?
Napoleon Vallee. Would have been mine.
All right. I like the regular, the standard porn name. Better.
I do. Drag queen name. It is a logical formula, isn't
sure.
it?
Hello, Dynamite.
Is it me?
Yeah.
April 17, 1999.
All right. We'll just do one more of these. April 17, 99. Hold on. Brains is doing your math.
3.
You're a 3? That's the whirlwind romance.
Still no 5s yet.
Spend lots of money. Hello. Really? Last call. Don and Mike. Hello?
3.
Hello?
Turn your radio down.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Hi, honey.
I just wanted to get my numbers done, but you said no more numbers.
No, one more. Just for you.
One right. more, dear.
It's 531-97.
Just for you, Cupcake. 531-97, Robbie.
7.
7?
7, how's that for you, darling?
I'm a 7, huh?
Curious explorers.
Curious explorers?
Curious.
Are you curious?
I'm sorry?
Are you curious?
I'm curious. I'm not quite an explorer. My husband will keep the radio down, though, because he doesn't think I'm really on.
All right. Bye-bye. Hold on. I know I said that was the last call, but here's a girl who actually thinks her formula works out to being a 5.
Oh, no.
Hello, Sandy?
Yes.
Well, what's your number? Let Robbie do the math.
Sure. January 20th, 95.
1-29-5.
Correct.
Robbie, what's the number?
An 8.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're an 8, ma'am.
I'm sorry.
You're an A. But don't worry. You have problems handling money.
Oh,
all right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, still no elusive fives.
Yeah, no fives. I think that's good news.
No fives again. I'm a six. Mike's a three. Buzz is a nine. Rob, big one.
Numero uno.
We'll be back after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Get the down of here.
Spanish one.
Get the
Okay.
Get the down of here.
Get the
See, well.
Shut the f*** up.
Very valuable.
Shut the f*** up.
Oh, man.
Cállate el pico.
Cállate el pico.
Go to hell.
Vete al infierno.
Ah, go to hell.
Go to hell.
Vete al infierno.
One more?
Vete al infierno, you see.
One more.
Kiss my ass.
Ah, beautiful.
Besa mi culo.
That's my favorite.
Besa mi culo.
Kiss my ass.
Besa mi culo.
Besa mi culo.
Somebody wants to show me the world.
Yo, yo, yo. They're whack. Don and Mike.
Besa mi culo.
Besa mi culo.
Besa mi culo. We want to stop talking about that numerology thing now.
Right.
Yeah, people are probably, you know, that's the type of thing that gets people going. But that's all we have now.
I don't want to keep going through all the numbers and everything. That's kind of boring.
We have a bunch of people who think they're fives, though.
Oh, that's interesting.
Here's Lori. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
You know, a five is not good.
I know. And, you know, we had a choice to get married on December 4th or December 5th, and we picked the 4th, and it's sad.
Well, I think the important thing is, do you feel like you may be a five?
Well, maybe. We don't have a very traditional marriage. We
Untraditional?
Before, both we have step kids.
Susceptible to breakups. That's
I know.
It's
scary, isn't it?
I think it's, you know, you can rest assured, numerology, that's 100% accurate.
All right, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike. You know who was into that? That old thief Ronald Reagan.
Yes, he was.
And so was Nancy Reagan.
You know, like, she was into everything.
And she wouldn't put on a red dress unless she called her goddamn astrologer to ask her about it.
She was into a few different things that were kind of weird. That's why she had that oversized head.
She's into anal sex, right?
I believe so.
Nancy Reagan.
Don and Mike. After me.
Yes, hello, Don and Mike.
Oh.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hello.
I'm definitely a five.
You're a five. Okay, well, thank you, sir.
You know, it's interesting, people that wanting to call him and say, I knew it. I'm a five.
I am a five. I'm getting a divorce.
Did you base it on the numerology?
Well, 224.96. I filed for divorce April the 26th this year.
Oh, so you'd already filed.
So you already know you're a loser.
Yeah, I'm not a loser. I'm a winner.
No, I mean, a loser is a game of marriage, though.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Now, there you go. I mean, once again... Yeah, we're not getting a lot of disputes about the results of the numerology.
Right, here's another lady who's a five. Sue.
Yes.
Hi, Sue.
I'm a five. We're breaking up after 18 years of marriage.
Listen to this.
Wow.
Listen to this. This is weird, Boogie.
Susceptible to breakups. Although after 18 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christ. Well, what would happen that would make you get divorced after 18 years? I ask that being as free as I want of our 18th in 2 weeks.
A black eye.
Oh, really?
Oh, what, you got OJ with you?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. That's Sue. She's got a five on her forehead.
Mm. Yeah, black eye.
Now, here's Carol.
First one.
She says her parents are fives.
Yeah, they're a five. Their anniversary is 2/18/66. And they're still together.
You know, I know. I think I read somewhere that Ronald Reagan used to give Nancy Reagan a black eye when she wouldn't give him his anal sex.
Oh, God.
Mommy!
Oh, God. Welcome to the land. Welcome to fantasy land.
Okay, what, Carol? Your parents are fives?
Yes. Their anniversary is 2/18/66.
And they've been married how long?
33 years.
Now, is there someone who goes again?
Well, but do you think that they've lived an entire life as a lie?
No, it's not a lie.
Do they bicker a lot? Do they have trouble getting along?
No, they get along just great.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah, there's an exception to the rule. Rob is shaking his head. I agree with you, Rob. I think you're dead on that one.
Boom!
That's right. And they might they might put up a good front for the kids. Like sure, my parents do.
Hello, John Mike Show.
Thanks for coming over. We had a great time. See you later. We'll see you Thanksgiving, okay?
I hate you.
Oh, get back in the house.
How dare you do that? And the turkey was dry. Hate you.
I hate you. I wish you were dead.
It's black eye time. No anal sex for you tonight.
Oh. Go on.
Shoot. Give.
Hello. Is this the girl who does numerology?
Oh, hello.
Yeah, hi.
Did you asked me to ask some questions. I think you might be doing the year wrong. When you do a traditional chart with, like, all the stuff, you have to do the whole year, the one, the nine, and then the rest of the year. So your numbers might be off, but I don't know what this lady sent you, and maybe you don't need to do the whole year.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
You know, I've happened to the Good Witch checking in.
Yeah, from her tour bus. I'll tell you right now, I think that our system was very accurate.
Except for the lady whose parents were five and still happily married, as far as she knows.
As far as she knows. That was right. That was put up a good front for the kids.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike. How y'all doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Hey, listen, I just wanted to give you my date. 10.
No, please. No more.
Enough?
No, yeah, no more with that.
No more?
Okay, thank you, though.
You can figure it out on your own and actually come up with a number. We've said it enough times.
Unless you're like,
well, could you figure out how to do it now on your own?
I know I could.